Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you today, and had a stirring in my heart to touch bases on some things concerning faith today, because without it, we can't please the Lord. We have to have faith in the living God, and we're even saved by grace through faith. It's just not of man, lest any man should boast. This is something, it's a God thing, the salvation business. But we're saved by grace through faith, and I'm going to touch bases on some accounts here today concerning faith. And I had a stirring to title this today, and this is the title. It's called "The Mind Cannot Tread Where Faith Can Venture." It's just, the mind just can't go there at times. It's a knowing that God has said, "I'm going to do it," but sometimes that mind can argue out of it what God has said. And we're going to look at some things that Abraham went through. But when I see that, my mind gets boggled just by what's going on here with his faith in God, regardless of what he was told to do. But a lot of time, how many of you ever argue with yourself? You know what God has said, but your mind, oh boy, it just gets in the way. Yet we are also to put on the mind of Christ, and the mind is a good thing because God made it. It's a good thing to have a mind and to be able to think. But we need to give that mind and that control, over to the Lord. And that's a world of faith where our mind may not comprehend it, but faith says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And so, therefore, by the grace of God, there we go. I want to give you an example first about this control thing, about this relationship between the mind and faith. But if I would happen to be, give you an example here of something I was thinking of, if I was on an airplane, and I don't know anything about flying, I don't have a license or anything, some of my brothers do, and some people I know, but I wouldn't know what to do if I was on an airplane and all of a sudden flying, as you know, sometimes can get turbulent. Sometimes planes can get into trouble. Sometimes planes can get struck by lightning or experience updrafts and downdrafts. And sometimes the plane can drop several hundred feet or 1,000 feet, and your heart is in your throat. But what I was thinking was, for me to go up into that cockpit or try to get into that cockpit and take control of what's going on to try to solve the problem would be absolutely suicidal. So here you are, you're a passenger, they're in control, and they have been trained for that. So the mind that would like to take control, like you may in a vehicle, you can't do it. You have to trust them to get you down on the ground safely. And so that's where you have to exhibit, or you have to have what in the pilots? You have to have what? You have to have faith that they know what they're doing. And so I don't know about you, but when I fly, I don't mind flying. It's just that when we land, it's always, that's cool, that's good. And it seems like everybody on the plane is, oh, that's good, we touch down. But you have to have faith. You have to have faith that they know what they're doing. And how about you? Have you struggled to have faith in God, to trust Him no matter what? No matter what you see. Because what you see at times can really, really play with your mind and get you to not trust God and to want to take control. So I wouldn't want to go up there and try to take control no more than my desire is for God to be in control of my life. I'm not there yet. I don't know about you, but I believe you're not there yet where God is in complete control. But it is awesome to know that He is in control. How many of you know that God is in control? That though He may be mocked, as the song just said, He will rise again. Yeah. He did rise again. And no power on earth, no power of darkness, no demon in hell can stop God's purpose or thwart His ways for mankind. And so I do know that God is in control. I want to live that way. I want to believe that. I want to experience that.
Yeah.
And so we do know, and I know you've been there before, but I want to visit the situation with Abraham where he was instructed of God to sacrifice Isaac. And it's not real long, but it's very, very powerful. And there's some things in here I'd like to share concerning faith and perhaps some things that he was going through. But in Genesis chapter 22, we have the account of Abraham and being instructed of God to sacrifice his son, a son that was also miraculously arranged by God. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was too old, and so was Sarah. And they knew that that was a miracle. God knows that Abraham had experienced his miracles before this miracle. He had been through, how many of you have been through things, and you know you've trusted God, and God did a mighty, powerful work in your life. And that is fuel. That is evidence. That is there. That is downloaded in your heart, in your life, and your experience to know that, and no man can cut that out.
Right.
You have gone through the fire. You have gone through the water. You have experienced that, and no man can cut that out of your heart. That builds confidence and faith in God, who does know what he's doing and that he does care for you. How many of you have been through an experience where you know, where that no man can cut it out of your heart? You've experienced this between you and the Lord. And so that builds confidence. Does God not want to continue to build that confidence? So here Abraham, what I'm saying about him is he and Sarah just had a child not too long ago, and yet through the miracle working power of God, and Sarah laughed about it, and she said, "I didn't laugh," and the angel of God said, "Yes, you did," you know, and she had to fess up that, yeah, I thought that was perhaps impossible. And then God says in response to all that, nothing is impossible with God.
Yeah.
See, I like to live that way, that nothing is impossible with God. And so here we go. Abraham had experienced God's miracles, and yet this is a new day. How many of you know you can experience God today, even a miracle perhaps? Whatever, go through the valley, come out of the mountain, go through the valley, and go through a miraculous situation. How many of you know that Monday is a new day? You know, it's just yesterday you experienced it. Today's a new day, Monday. And you still got to trust him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, every single day, every heartbeat, every breath. And so it's a new day for Abraham. He's seen God's miracles, but God's not through with him yet. God wants to build what? In us. Faith. He wants to build character. And you're only going to build faith and character through what? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And also God is going to test us to see exactly where that faith is. We're going to be tested. Not tempted, but tested. That word tempt in the Bible means test.
Yeah.
There is a temptation, and we know that is used correctly, where we are tempted to do evil, and yet we're to resist that. But a lot of times when it says that we are, the King James says tempted, it means tested, proven. And so a new day, Genesis 22, it came about in verse 1, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And I don't know about you, if you want to run when God calls your name and to have a tendency to say, "Here I ain't," instead of "Here I am." But God wants to talk to us. We went through a session on hearing God's voice, and there's ways to do that. But basically, if you didn't know anything, it's a knocking on his door if you want to get his attention. And he will respond, because if you seek him, you will find him, if you search for him with all your heart. Well, how many of you have been there, "Here I ain't," but we need to be where "Here I am" is. So you got my attention. I'm open. What are you going to say? What's going on here? And so, and he said, "Take now your son," God speaking, "your only son whom you love," that's the only son, I mean, not from his bowels and Sarah's bowels, that, you know, not from a maidservant or anything, this is Isaac, "and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Oh, golly, we're already stuck, right? How can this be? You're going to miraculously give us this child. Now you're telling me to go sacrifice him. Wow. His attitude in verse 3, Abraham did what? This is perhaps the next morning after God spoke to him. Abraham did what? He didn't run. He rose. He didn't run from God, but he rose to accept God's word. And it says, early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Oh, it's what's going through his mind, what's going through his heart. And yet, obedience is superseding any disobedience. Obedience is pressing beyond the fears and the doubts and all the stuff that could be going on there. He's letting faith kick in here to say, I've heard your voice before, I hear it now, I'm rising, I'm doing this, but my mind is not going to be able to venture where this faith wants to go here. Have you ever kind of experienced those things? God, what are you doing to me? What's going on in my life? And wow, I know it's you, so I'm going to go through with this, but it's a tremendous thoughts that he must be having in his heart. In verse 4, and on the third day after traveling, how many of you are on a trip or on a way to do something, and yet on your way to do something, there's a plethora of thoughts that may prohibit you from fulfilling it? On your way. He's on his way. But this is not just, you know, a half hour going down the hallway to talk to somebody or that you need to talk to or whatever. But it's 3 days later that you have plenty of time to think about this, to abort this mission. 3 days of thought. Let's just use a very real example, okay? And 3 days from now, you know, I've got a dental appointment. let's pick on the dentist again. Or you're going to have some kind of surgery or something. But wow, how many times I wanted to cancel the appointment to go to the dentist. Yet all I'm doing is delaying. All I'm going to do is delay something that has to be done. So many times I wanted to cancel that appointment, but yet to walk through it is like tar on your shoes. You know you got to do it. And so, but this is no comparison. We're not talking about a dental appointment here. We're talking about Abraham being told by God to sacrifice Isaac, his son. It's tremendous. The third day, after all this time, he had plenty of time to think about it. He raised his eyes and he saw the place from a distance. I don't know about you, but for me to pull into the parking lot on that day to that dental appointment, I'm here. My stomach's queasy, you know, whatever I may be going through. I don't do that anymore, but I have had that experience. I've shared that with you before. He saw the place from a distance, and Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you."
Yeah.
He's not saying, you guys, you don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go up there and I'm going to sacrifice my son. I don't like this. This is something I can't comprehend. But, but he's saying to them, no, he's not saying this is something disastrous. He's saying, we're going to go yonder and worship and we will return to you. Yeah. I mean, that's just like, wow. We've heard this before, right? You've heard this account before. We're going to return. So the mind cannot go, he can't go there where faith can venture. So it's faith that is going beyond the mind situation here. He's going to do something that God told him to do. And isn't that the key today with all the marginalizing of Jesus Christ in our world today and pushing Jesus out of everything we can possibly push him out of in many places? Isn't it something for us as Christians to know that we have faith to know that God is in control and that God's going to work this all out and he's beyond governments and what government does and what they decide and what they legislate? God is greater. God is greater than our school systems. God is greater than their rules. God is greater than anything that is going on politically that we may not prefer or agree with. God is greater and God is in control. But we still have to do our duty.
Right.
We have to do our part. We have to walk this daily in this world. And this is what Abraham wanted to do. He had direction, and he was going to walk it. He was going to do it. So here he is, And in verse 5, Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here. I'm going to, me and the lad, Isaac, are going to go yonder and worship, and we're going to return to you." And to worship here means to prostrate, to lay down, to worship, to adore, to worship the Lord. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Still going toward the objective, the directions of the Lord to fulfill what God had said. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, the father, "This would melt me if this was Sundan and I," and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham wisely said that God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. God will provide, and that's where we get Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. In verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And I want to say something here. Has anyone got a King James Version here today? It's very important for us to really understand something right here. After all this and all of his thoughts and everything he's going through, the New American Standard Bible says that he arranged the wood. And the King James says something that I like. I like the way it's said. Mary, I want you to read the Living if you have it there in just a moment. But he arranged the wood. And the King James says something very important, Lisa. What is it?
And laid the wood in order.
I stopped right there. He laid the wood in order. Lisa, I don't know what anybody's hearing right now, but when I heard that, when I read that, I just had to stop, because we're going to go somewhere with this. Here he is, believing God, not the mind, to fulfill something that God said. And here he is at this point, getting so close to sacrificing his son. Do you believe at this point, based upon Scripture? Mary, what's the New Living Bible, or Living Bible, say there?
When they arrived at the place where God had told Abraham to go, he built an altar and placed the wood in order.
Now, I don't know about you, but if that was my son, Sundana, and that was me, and God had given me orders to sacrifice my son, here he is placing the wood in order. And by the way, I believe it's in Leviticus when the law was given for them, they were also to place the wood in order. Everything was to be done in order. But anyhow, can you imagine? He could not be in control placing any wood in order if he was doing this. He was steadfast, and here he was placing the wood in order in obedience to a relationship with the God that he served. And the only way that you and I today, along with Abraham, can do anything ordered by the Lord is to believe that God is in it. And you can do it. You can do this. All of us can do this, no matter the circumstances. If we have faith believing that God is in it, God will enable us and give us the strength and the ability to do what we have to do. And I understand the heart may be trembling. The knees may be shaking. But through it all, he placed that wood in order, in obedience to the Lord. And that just, wow, that really, really pierced my heart. When I read that for the first time that way, I've always read it, you know, he placed the wood and getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. But when I read that he placed that wood in order, then he was doing what? What do you sense is going on here with him, with this man? All the time traveling, he saw it at a distance. Now they're up there, and he's placed the He's got the wood and the fire, and he told his son that God's going to supply the sacrifice, the lamb. He knows all that, and yet here he is placing the wood in order. Still hasn't happened yet. The ram's not in the bush yet. He's not over there rattling his horns and said, well, you know, don't worry, Isaac. We've got the sacrifice over here. I just got to go through these motions. How many of you know you do not know always the end of the day, what's going to happen in the day, but you know you're going to trust God regardless of what happens in the day? This man in Maine called me and said, I got a spot in my lungs. But you know what? Such confidence came out of him. He was telling me, it's okay, I'm all right. He said, I can't explain it, but I know that God is in control. I don't know what the spot is, but I just know God's in control here. He's going to take care of me. He says, I'm ready. Whatever God has for me. How many of you are so confident to know that at the end of the day that God is in control at the end of the day as well as he is right now? And you don't see how he's going to do it, but you know that God is going to do it. The ram was not in the bush when he was placing the wood in order. He was proceeding with God's orders to obey the Lord. Wow. Do you think it'd be different if you saw the ram over here in the bush? His horns are caught, and you know that, you know, God's, you know, he's not going to have you do this, sacrifice Isaac. There's the sacrifice. Don't you think it'd be a little bit different attitude? Oh man, I can confidently put down the wood. I can confidently light the fire. I can confidently lay him up there and bind him and do all these things because I already know what's going on. When Shirley was sick for 2 years, my wife in bed for 2 years, not out of bed, in bed, everything in bed, her hair was every other day. I had a song about that, and I told you about that before. Every other day is a hair day. Everything in bed, not out of bed, everything in bed. The kids came to her for their education stuff, and she was right there in bed. People would come and visit right in bed. Everything, food in bed, everything in bed, everything in bed. Not out of the bed. Not out of the bed, go to the bathroom, in the bed. And it was a great teaching time for me. There are times when she's the one going through the trial, yet I just melt and say, God, what are you doing? And when she said, Lord, how long? She shared this with you before. She said, how long? The Lord said, you don't want to know. Wow. But my wife, who I'm grateful that we're hooked up together, we're serving the Lord together, and she is my wife for life, that she was trusting the Lord, and I honored that. Everybody was saying, why don't you go? Why don't you go? Why don't you get help? Why don't you this and that? And you've got this disease and you've got that disease. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I don't know. I just know these things are happening to me. And we've been to the doctor many times. We've been to the doctors many times after that. It was a period of time when we were trusting the Lord. We were. She was the individual. And how are you going to do this? And the Lord might truly say, you don't want to know because I want to build some character here. I want to see what you're going to do with my orders. Take your son Isaac, take him to the mountain that I will show you in the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer him there as a sacrifice. And the Lord was definitely watching to see what he's going to do. And yet sometimes it's absolutely ridiculous, our attitude as Christians sometimes. Sometimes people as Christians, they might go to a restaurant and find a fork that's got a little egg yolk on it and just absolutely go crazy, demanding a free meal. The audacity. What if somebody in there knows you're a Christian acting like a jerk? And yet God has not asked you to sacrifice your child. God has not asked you to do such deep situation here with sacrificing a child or even going across town to minister somebody in a nursing home or something. He's just watching you. You're upset over some yolk on your fork. And do Christians do that sometimes? I think that behavior is probably realistic at times. It shouldn't be that way. We should take the fork and say, honey, you know, whoever the waiter or waitress is, and say, look, got a little yolk on here. It's okay. Just give me another one. you know, instead of having to eat with that fork. You know, God's not requiring you to eat with that yolky fork. I don't know about you, but I look at my silverware when I go out. And I knew someone, Casey Kurosawa, who passed away. And Casey, when we go out to eat, he'd take that fork and he would turn it around and he'd take that knife and he would look at it. And it's so precious. Might have some water spots on it or whatever, but boy, I tell you, he would examine that silverware. It was funny. I love that brother. And he got me to kind of looking at it before I put it in my mouth too. So, you know, just sharing with you some things. It's sometimes ridiculous what the brevity of what God is asking of this man, and sometimes how ridiculous we are at times. It's just crazy. Sometimes we need to be aware that that is not the way we should be.
Yeah.
That's not serving the living God by doing that. It's not a witness. It's not a testimony. And so here we go. Here he is. And the only way that I know that he could place this wood, Lisa, in order would be to know that God is in control. He's placing the wood, getting ready to sacrifice his son in order. And God is a God of what? All order. It has a lot to do with faith. God is in control. He's going to order our steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. We had a lesson on order, I think it was last week, but it kind of carries over here to faith. How many of you want God, and you heard that, what we were sharing, about God ordering your steps? Well, he wants that too. You order me, God, to do what you're telling me to do. You gave the orders, you give me the strength to do it. And God will. He will raise up the strength within you to do what seems with the mind impossible to do. And that thing about Shirley in bed for 2 years, and the Lord said to her, you don't want to know how long? Well, she got out of bed, didn't she? After 2 years. But we didn't know how long. She got out of bed, and for the first time, she put her feet on the floor. She walked through the house, even into the living room. Hadn't seen the living room for 2 years. Hadn't seen this for 2 years. Hadn't seen plants outside for 2 years. Looked out the windows and saw the changes and went down the road for a ride and saw new buildings and different places on Line Ball. And gee, wow. She experienced that. And I was with her when she experienced it, but only she had the experience. Wow. Wow, isn't that something? He arranged the wood, still obedient to the Lord, right up to the last moment, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Well, is there still order here? Now my son's on top of the wood. The wood's in order. Is things still in order here? My son's on top of the wood. God, what are you doing? Do you really know what you're doing? Do you know what you said and asked me to do? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the grocery store? And to me, it's embarrassing, to the grocery store, and you got more than what you could buy, more than what you could pay for. And you have to say to the, they don't really care. I mean, you're the one that's having all this trouble. You have to say, well, take this off and take that off. And how much do I have there now? And she would back it off. Okay, well, take the bread. How much do I have now? And some people behind you may be, you know, a little nervous and kind of impatient with you, but it's embarrassing. I don't like that. But I have been there. I've had to do that, not very often. And I remember my mom, my precious mom, counting the little change out and just trying to provide for all of us kids and six girls and one boy, and I mean six boys and one girl, and it just counting your little change out at times. And I'm sitting there going, oh, Mom, you know, everybody's got the cash. You got the change, you know. But and then having things put back, taken back, she couldn't pay for. And yet, today, I wish I had, once again, the relationship I have with Jesus now and the mind I have now back then. I could stand there and say, Mom, I just love you. I thank God for you. You know, you're just doing what you can do. And you know that God's going to provide. You know that God is in control. You can't see, but you know. And you'll go home and you'll make things out of what you got. And you're going to do this. You're going to put your faith and trust in God no matter what and how we're all going to be fed. But God, but Mom, you're doing it. And see, I wish I could stand with her in that confidence today. But that testimony is still there, so I'm okay. I'm all right. It lives on. Yeah. That's what she did, and she loved the Lord. And this is something else. Abraham stretched out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Didn't see any ram in the bush yet. Wow. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said once again, when he began, here I am. He says again, here I am. Now here, this is what's so serious. Here's what's so serious. Look at this, in verse 12. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, here is where you can really get in trouble. You can say that I heard from you, Lord, and I know that must be the devil speaking, so forget you, forget that voice, I got to do this. Mm. What we're saying here is that he heard from the Lord to begin with, he heard from the Lord now. The Lord did say, sacrifice your son. And you can sit there and argue with the Lord and say, did you not say, sacrifice your son? I heard what you said. What are you doing? Changing your mind? What are you? Wishy-washy? You told me to sacrifice him, so bang! Yet the Lord said, don't do it. That was the Lord speaking. So we do need to hear God's voice, don't we? We need to hear the voice of God. We need to know the voice of God. We need to discern the voice of God from the voice of evil. God now is saying, no, I know what's in your heart. Don't do it! And yet, he didn't argue. He said, okay. But somebody else, in their mind, in their carnal understanding, could say, you idiot, God told you to sacrifice your son. Isn't that the voice of the devil? Isn't that some other voice telling you not to do that? Fulfill it. Do it. And the devil speaking the whole time. Is that possible? But I'm just wanting to bring this to 2012 in my life. You know, that was a long time ago. I want to bring it now. See, so when I'm walking with the Lord, and the Lord says, get in your car, and the Lord says, go down to the corner store and get a Cuban sandwich for your neighbors next door. For whatever reason. So I'm on my way, I go down to the store, and I heard what God said, and I get a Cuban sandwich, I get ready to go out the door. He says, well, pick up a gallon of milk while you're at it. No, you already said get a Cuban. What are you talking about? And I'm going to get a Cuban, I'm going to take it to my neighbors, and I'm going to do it. Well, bully, good for you. But you can go and deliver the package, do what God said, yet you don't have the complete message. God also said to get some milk. And because when you get there, the people said, you know what? We're out of milk. And we, they don't know, but you do. You know the rest of the story. But you see, let the Lord punctuate. Let the Lord, hyphenate. Let the Lord give more complete understanding, and so for you to fulfill His will as you walk on this earth. And the only way to do that is to believe that God does know what He's talking about. And to know that that's not the devil saying, get milk, it's the Lord. You can know that through a life of learning to hear God's voice. It's a process. How many of you hear God's voice all the time and you just know what God is saying and you have no doubts whatsoever? Nobody that I know of is there yet. I'm not there. As I speak to you today, I search heaven for how to say what I'm saying right now, because I don't want to say something that you already heard 1,000 times before, maybe. I don't know. But it's not about a little old story about, God telling Abraham, go sacrifice your son. You already heard that. I know that. But I'm not there. I'm not going there. I'm just talking about making this real today, September the 30th, 2012, right now. How does it relate to you? And to me, it does relate to the grocery store. It does relate about a fork with yolk on it. Or it does relate to hearing God's voice to go down to the store to do this. It does relate to these things. My neighbor's yard, God knows, the thing gets up like that sometimes and knee high, and they don't know how to do it. They don't know how. The mower's busted and broken. I got big old powerful mowers and everywhere, all over the place. I can do it in 10 minutes. But the Lord says, no, leave it alone. I've got to let the Lord handle that. She came over one day. She said, will you mow my yard? And she offered to pay me for doing it. And I just had to let it go until that time came. And then it's okay. I mean, sometimes I've done it free. Sometimes they've asked me to do it. And it's just okay, because I'm learning to hear God's voice. I can't save the world. I can't mow everybody's yard. Mm-hmm. golly. But so many things, man, just tear at our heart because you feel you got to do it. You're the only one that can speak to that thing, and you're the only one that can deliver the message to that thing. And God said, man, I've got so many ways to get a hold of those the heart of those people. It's way beyond your mind. The mind cannot tread there. It's where faith needs to venture. That's what I feel today. And I also feel that we got a lot of things going on in our world today where everything's coming against a walk of faith. They don't want Jesus. This resurrected Jesus and everything that you do, we don't want him. Please don't say that name again. We don't need him. We've got money, we got brains, we got factories, we've got abilities, we got military power. We don't need Jesus. And I'm going to stand up in my time on this earth while I'm living, and I'm going to say to that world, I need Jesus. I need him. I cannot live without him.
Amen.
I can't do it without him. I don't want to do it without him.
There you go.
If I go to Montana for a trip to see my brothers, Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you there, and maybe there may be a morsel somewhere, but I'm just going to look to you, Lord. And it's good. It's good because that builds your faith to know that God knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, even one time in Montana, I went there just to say, God, what are you doing the whole time? And I'm available, I'm open. And I see something as a powerful example in Montana and a lot of places they have out there that need irrigation. And you got irrigation and they're a perfect circle where the irrigation is. A perfect circle. Where the irrigation, green, as green and beautiful as it can be. I'm telling you, just any inch or any area outside that circle, that irrigation circle, is dry as a bone. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, I see it. I get it. And I wrote something about that one time. I came back and I had to write about that because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He waters. But outside that, there's death.
Yeah.
You see, so any nation, any government that wants to operate without Jesus, without life, without the water of life, is operating in a very dry land. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. They're operating in death. Can they be irrigated? Yes, but you're going to have to jump into the circle where the water is and not remain where you are. And you can stubbornly remain where you are without receiving the life that God has for you. Green and lush and beautiful, just as dry as a bone outside, just an inch outside the irrigation circle. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand under the power and that anointing of the Spirit of God, the life that he has for me, and I'm going to say to that dry world, this is life, you're living in death.
That's right.
So we have a message today. We have a message today. Those who are in Christ Jesus. That is, you're welcome to come in, but we're not going out where you are.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't mean church door. I'm talking about, I ain't going where you are. You can come where we are, but I ain't going where you are.
That's right.
You know, you like the person who's, once again, trying to save the world, you can't do it.
No.
And so, this is so, so powerful. I want to make it real for me today. I want you to make it real for you today. And this angel called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, in verse 11. And Abraham said, here I am. He did not say, here I ain't. And I don't want to hear anything else. I've already know it all. I've got this thing going. We're going to do this. But he said, here I am. He did not say, here I ain't. How many of you, many times, do not have time to do what you need to do? There's no time to do it. Mark, would you please call somebody for me because, you know, I can't call them and need you to call them back. And I said, well, sorry, here I ain't. I don't have time either. And the Lord says, well, yes, you do. Well, how can I have time because of blah, 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 blah? The Lord says, because you don't need to do whatever, blah, 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 you think you're going to do. You got all kind of time in the world to do what she just asked you to do. You are just in your mind and you're not looking to me. You're thinking in your mind you don't have time, but I have a way to arrange time for you to do what you need to do. It's amazing how much junk God can throw out to let his truth in. But you got to get the junk out first and make more room. You got any messy closets at home? And you don't have any more room to put in those closets? You do if you get rid of what's in there to put important stuff in those closets. We're going to go visit Christy's room this afternoon. And we know that everything is in this place. And you got plenty of room to put everything. And
It is. Cleaner than our
mom. Oh, it is. Awesome. Oh, Mary, the school teacher.
The Lord is good to me. I have more than I need.
Christy. Oh, my. The child shall teach the elder. But congratulations, Christy.
Thank you.
Oh, golly. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, verse 10, 11. We hear where God, verse 12. And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked. After all that, then he raised his eyes and behold, behind him, not in his vision, behind him, a ram was caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." That's that Jehovah Jireh where we get that. "As it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." And what seed are we talking about that's going to be blessed? The seed of what? Faith in God. All way back then, Nessie, the Lord wants obedience. Even though our mind may not understand it, even though it can't even go there where faith can, we know that God is in control today. And there's many other scriptures that go with this. Perhaps we'll continue this on another time. But today, we're going to stop with this, and we hope that all those who have heard this today here or perhaps on the internet, that you will take this to heart and apply what we're talking about here today. Apply to believe and to trust God no matter what your mind says, but to really, really press in, to knock on God's door through Jesus Christ, what he is saying to you, the plans that he has for you, how it's to be developed, how God is going to do it, when is he going to do it. All you got to do is walk on the journey that you're on. It's a pilgrim's progress, not a pilgrim's digress. We need to be bound. Faith means, the definition of faith means to bind, to be bound to him, to be one with God, us and him and us through the Holy Spirit, and to be walking in obedience to him on a daily basis, really striving to hear his voice. It is a process, and I don't know of anyone on this earth that is there. I do know one who was, and that was Jesus Christ, the ultimate perfect sacrifice. But in the meantime, let us be patient with each other as God is patient with us, teaching us to hear his voice. He does instruct, but he also clarifies as we go. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, when God says something, he means it. If you deny me, I will deny you. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Does God mean that? Is he ever going to change? No. We know that is set in stone. You know, if you deny him, he will deny you. And God's not going to change his mind on that. So we know that without the blood, there is no salvation. There is no life. We know that. And so there's certain things that the Bible says God changes not. But in our life, there are things that God tweaks out and shows us and reveals to us. God, what am I going to do? What if these funds are cut off? Or what if the spot in the lung turns out to be this, and all of a sudden you're hyperventilating before you even get to first base?
Yeah.
You know, you were told, Eddie, that you had cancer, colon cancer. That didn't sound good.
Yeah.
Well, we prayed about it, and you not only got it surgery and got it removed, but you also got the very chief surgeon to remove it, and successfully. And you just had a test recently, right? And no signs of any recurrence of cancer.
No, and also I got two spots, and they're not big enough.
Amen.
Well,
so
I don't let those two spots run my joy.
Or destroy your faith in God.
No.
So we keep looking to Him.
That's right.
And you don't know anything about that either. So no. You just look to the Lord today.
That's it.
And so our journey is a good journey. Our journey is a journey of faith, binding to the Lord, listening to God's voice, and saying, "Here I am," not "Here I ain't."
That's right.
So God has a way to get our attention.
Yeah.
And He does it through life. Through life,
yeah.
God gets our attention through looking to Him. So anyone listening to this message today, I pray, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there ain't no power on earth, there ain't no power in hell that's going to stop God's plan. So you just well get busy living instead of get busy dying, and get it and do it God's way and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And He will make sense out of things for you in your life. And if there are people listening to this message today that love the Lord with all your heart and you're encouraged by it, then praise God. May it bring you closer to Him.
Yeah.
Because you can't get too close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot. And say, may the Lord bless you richly and develop your faith and grow your faith as you look to Him in your daily life. God bless you.
Amen.